Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kuraitis. Today is Saturday, April 4th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is A Death by a Thousand Cuts. One of the reasons we're doing this podcast on a Saturday is simply because we've been running into, unfortunately, some technical issues with uploading some of our recent podcasts to our website and even a little bit of difficulty getting it uploaded to YouTube itself. I did put a note on our website at the Capital News, informing the audience, go to YouTube because that's where we seem to be able to get them uploaded. I do have an IT ticket submitted to my company who I outsource that to have the podcast uploaded to several sites at once. Makes it very convenient for me. So unfortunately, we are down on the website, but the articles, the videos, everything else is still functioning well on the website, and of course, the archive of some of the podcasts are up there and available as well. It's just the new ones are having some technical issues getting uploaded, but I hope to have that resolved early next week. Fingers crossed by Monday, that would be best, and I hope that's the case, and of course, I'll keep the audience informed. But if you're listening to this, you're most likely listening to it on YouTube, so I will keep you updated as we make progress on that. So A Death by a Thousand Cuts. The market yesterday, pretty much across the board, across the globe, was in the red with some exceptions, obviously. We did have the March unemployment number come out, and it was a loss of 700,000 jobs. Of course, you know, how do you reconcile this with the initial unemployment claims over the past couple of weeks that amount to about 10 million Americans filing for unemployment? Well, this is just how the government conducts these surveys. And, you know, it was something because on my phone, I have a Yahoo Finance app. And, of course, every once in a while, you're going to get headlines that come across. And the headline read, unexpected. This was the word again. I don't know who is writing these headlines. And it's not just for Yahoo Finance. It's for many of them. The unemployment figure, it was unexpected. How could it have been unexpected? The global economy is shut down. The U.S. economy, for all intents and purposes, is shut down, at least to a great degree. How is this unexpected? How can you even put this word out there? Are there no editors anymore reading these headlines before somebody hits submit and puts it out there? I just think it's ridiculous. It doesn't look good for those institutions. It doesn't look good for Yahoo Finance and other outlets. Unexpected? I don't like it. But nevertheless, this is the first decline in unemployment or job losses since 2010. So typically speaking, this is the change. This is the inflection point that we have talked about. This is a video that we have done, Capital Economics presentation that, of course, you can find on our YouTube channel or on our website at thecapitalnews.com. And this audience understands that the unemployment rate is a lagging indicator. It's not a leading indicator. It's a lagging indicator. It tells you what has already happened. Okay? So check out that video if you want a little bit of a better understanding of unemployment. But the reason I have titled this podcast A Death by a Thousand Cuts is because I believe we have only seen the tip of the iceberg here, all right? Despite the rapidity of the decline, despite the chaos that is taking place, despite the trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars that are being pumped back into the system by the federal government, by the Federal Reserve, by the ECB, the Bank of Japan, everybody and their mother throwing money back into this system just to keep it afloat. Just to keep it afloat. You have to understand, that's very important, because this is not stimulus. This is filling a hole, okay? And it's only going to get worse, unfortunately. Now, could there be some unexpected, could there be some reversals? Yeah, of course there's going to be reversals. Could they be gigantic? Yeah, of course they could be. We've never said that that's impossible. We said that's actually something that could very likely happen, and we've already seen some of those take place. Some of the biggest counter-rallies happen during bear markets. So if we get another one, don't be surprised. If we get several, don't be surprised. But I am most definitely expecting another leg down. When that's going to take place, I don't have that crystal ball, but I expect another leg down at some point before the dust settles and we hit bottom. I think that's going to be quite the process, by the way. despite the fact that we've already fallen, 30-35% on some of the larger indexes. But death by a thousand cuts is because we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. What's going on with all of these small businesses, right? Because that's really the thousand cuts, because there are so many small businesses out there. A lot of them live or survive month to month. You know, it's not all glamorous. Business is difficult. It's not easy. You got employees, you have training, you have loans, you got debt. You have to satisfy the market with your goods or services. You have to get repeat customers. You have to deal with the government at the local, state, and federal level. It's not easy. You got to hire employees. You got to train them. You got to give them an attractive package to keep them there and to retain them. Otherwise, you're going to have to go through that process over and over and over again of hiring and training, hiring and training. It's very expensive, very time-consuming. Because undoubtedly, that entrepreneur, the managers of that business, it's an opportunity cost, right? They could be more productive somewhere else, but if they got to continuously look and hire and train employees, it becomes very, very costly. So it's not easy out there. It's not easy at all, which is one of the reasons I don't like when particularly liberals and the left in this country demonize business. Because most business in this country is small and mid-sized companies. Well, you know, put yourself in the shoes of these entrepreneurs. They're taking on all of the risk. They're the ones that are worrying about, how do I make payroll? Am I going to have to sacrifice paying myself to make sure that my employees get paid? How am I going to do that? Am I going to take on more debt? Am I going to have to tap out my credit line, which many companies now have done, even the largest of the largest have done and are continuing to do? It's just one thing after the next. Am I going to have to mortgage my house to get some liquidity so I can pay my employees to finance my inventory? I mean, these are the questions that I don't think a lot of liberals ask. I don't even think they know to ask them, because they've never run a business, or they just simply don't understand, or they just think, well, you're an entrepreneur, you own a business, you must be a multimillionaire. That's not how it works. And we're going to see that. We're going to learn that firsthand. Okay? It takes a long time to build a business. It's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, one of the, you know, most common businesses, one of the biggest startups, are restaurants. Subsequently, one of the largest failures of businesses is restaurants. Because you have to have the right staff, you have to have the right cook, you got to have the right food, the right menu, the right price. You got to get repeat customers. You got to turn tables, you got to turn plates over and over and over again to make ends meet. It is a tough business. You got to deal with food prices. Those can fluctuate. You know, you're a price taker, not a price maker. When you're a restaurant, unless you're a really big chain, then you might have some say-so because you got a lot of volume. But if you're a one restaurant standoff, no. You got to take the price that comes to you. A lot of unknown factors. And now, I have no idea what's going to happen on the other side of this when the dust finally settles. But one of the things that I'm somewhat concerned about for restaurateurs and bars and the like are changes to some of the laws, even at the local level, maybe particularly at the local level, if social distancing becomes something that becomes law to some degree. Okay, and let me give you an example. If you have a restaurant, you know, some restaurants, they get pretty crowded. There's a lot of people in there. You know, that's not necessarily by accident that there are so many chairs and tables in that restaurant, because the restaurateur may very well understand that he or she needs that many tables and chairs in there because they know how many plates and tables they have to turn in an hour, at dinner time, a day, to make a profit. Maybe just to break even, right? If they understand their business, they understand their numbers, they understand how many people have to come in there, have to buy dinner, and you got to turn it, right? Because you got all your wait staff, you got your bus boys, you got your dishwashers, you got everybody in there. What happens if they have to cut down on the number of tables, number of booths, number of chairs because of social distancing? Are they going to be able to make it? What happens if you have a situation, if you have a, you know, a popular bar or restaurant, and it might be a really big bar, right? Maybe it can hold 500 people, and it gets packed every weekend. And it's up to code, fire marshal, everything, right? 500 people's maximum capacity. Well, what happens if a local ordinance or city changes and says, oh, no, no, we can't have that many people because of the risks? Again, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it could. And say, well, you know what? We're going to come up with some sort of formula. And just say for the sake of argument, if it's 500 people that can fit in an establishment, have to cut it down, we got to knock off 100 people. All right, that's 20%. So now you're down to 400 people that are going to typically fill that building on a weekend, right? Well, that bar owner just lost 100 customers over 2 days. So it's 200 customers. Now think about all of the money that those 200 people would have spent in that establishment. Get what I'm saying here? This is why I'm calling this the death by 1,000 cuts. And you can take this across any industry you want to. Especially if there are changes to the laws at the local, state, and federal level. Okay? Even if there aren't changes, I still believe this is going to be death by 1,000 cuts. That we are in recession, and that we are unfortunately likely headed into a depression that may very well be termed the greatest depression. All right? Because understand something, ladies and gentlemen, we have yet to see China collapse. And we know how much debt they have, and we know how much they lie. We have yet to see Hong Kong collapse. All of those months of protests, COVID-19, the economic slowdown. I am extremely surprised that we have not seen Hong Kong collapse yet. This goes for other emerging markets as well, especially with the backdrop of commodity prices falling through the floor, on the backdrop of an oil price war that is taking place. Because in many of these emerging markets to begin with, we were already seeing these global protests. A lot of these countries are predicated. They make their money, their revenue, to their governments, which is then goes out to the people through commodities. These prices continue to drop. These governments are going to get further and further squeezed. Then when you understand what's taking place with how much debt is due, U.S. dollar denominated, now it becomes that double, triple, quadruple whammy. Because they're not bringing in enough revenue, this being emerging markets, because they're cash cows, they're commodities, their prices are extremely low, but they got all these debts coming due that are in dollars. The dollar is appreciating against a lot of these emerging market currencies, which we expected and anticipate will continue for some time until it doesn't, because we do imagine that the U.S. dollar will probably lose its reserve status at some point. But again, it's the best looking girl at the dance. So it's going to take more of these emerging markets' currency to purchase $1. So their finances are going to continuously get strained and strained again and strained again, which is going to push people who are already at a breaking point to explode that much further. So social unrest, civil unrest, the writing is pretty much on the wall as far as I'm concerned, because it was already here. And we have stated for months that it is not transitory, it is history in the making. But lo and behold, somewhat coincidental, maybe not coincidentally, we have a global pandemic and now everybody can't be out in the streets. So all of these protesters are now pretty much back at home because they're not allowed to be out, back out on the streets. Well, what about the banks who have been suffering under negative interest rate regimes, particularly in Asia and in Europe, particularly HSBC, who is heavily linked to Hong Kong? Okay, we already know that they are expected to lay off 35,000 people. All right, we know Deutsche Bank was expected to lay off, I think it was the numbers, about 18,000 people. You have Commerce Bank, you have a whole bunch of other Northern European banks who were riddled with lawsuits and investigations, primarily centered around money laundering, and we talked about that just the other day. With the oil and war, who benefits? What about corporations? How many bankruptcies have we seen with corporations? Not that many yet. They're starting to creep out one by one, inch by inch. This is going to be death by a thousand cuts. OPEC? OPEC Plus can meet next week. They're supposed to meet next week, although there's already some rumors being circulated that the meeting has already been postponed. I think it was supposed to be taking place on Monday. It's now not going to take place until the 8th or the 9th of next week. The meeting at the White House with the president and the executives was pretty much a nothing burger. We already know that to the extent possible that U.S. shale and energy companies are going to cut production because to some degree they got to get that price up if they can. But again, it's a double-edged sword because they are riddled with debt. Riddled with debt. They have junk bond status. And you have yield spreads that are widening. All right? And you look at investment grade spreads and you look at corporates. I'm sorry, you look at treasuries and you look at the difference. And that's the spread. When they're close together, you say, okay, there's a lot of liquidity in here. Everything's okay. But when they start to widen, you got a liquidity problem. You got a credit crunch coming. And that's what we're seeing. That's what we've been anticipating. The Federal Reserve and other central banks are well aware of this. That's why they are flooding the system with money, with liquidity, because they don't want these types of liquidity squeezes, these credit crunches, to occur. Although, if you had a free market, that's exactly what's supposed to take place. Because there's going to be a ton of supply coming into the bond market, corporate bond market, because these corporations need to roll over their debt because they need more debt. They need some type of liquidity just to float, right? It's unbelievable, this kicking the can down the road. They're not going to be able to save everybody. They're not going to be able to. They're picking winners and losers, the Federal Reserve is, and the federal government. Not their role. Not their role at all. But with this abundant and excess supply that is going to be coming onto the market, the bond market, corporate bonds, prices go low, yields go up. Because investors know what's going on. Yeah, if I'm going to invest in your debt, if I'm going to become your creditor, 5% ain't going to cut it. 8% is not going to cut it. Maybe 10% will. Maybe 12, maybe 15. These are the types of yields that are going to be that are going to be placed on junk. It's coming to a theater near you. It's not good, folks. How are they going to be able to pay that back in this type of environment, heading into recession, if not a Great Depression? You have to allow the free markets to work. Period, stop. Because the further they kick this can down the road or attempt to, the worse the recession's going to be, the worse the depression is going to be. Because we understand what debt is here. It is going to rob future generations. It's already robbing current generations. But it's going to rob future generations who don't even exist. But they're going to have to pay for it in one form or another. Higher taxes, a dollar that has been completely debased and is worth nothing, lack of job opportunities, lack of educational opportunities, whole host of things, okay? Believe me when I tell you, it's not a pretty picture. And I take no pleasure in saying this, and I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know how I'm going to be wrong because this is math, this is numbers, it's supply and demand. This has been a train wreck coming for years. People have been ringing the bell, flashing the alarms, sounding the siren, but our politicians don't listen. Democrat, Republican makes no difference. Check out our letter, representation and recourse on our website, thecapitalnews.com. Copy, paste it, email it to your congressmen and senators. Keep my name on it as well. Amend it, adjust it to your liking. We want a peaceful revolution here because these people need to wake up. Leave the Democrat Party, leave the Republican Party. Register as a libertarian, a constitutionalist, an independent, unaffiliated. Please. Please. They will start to wake up once they start to see this. Start this exodus from this quote-unquote two-party system, which is really only one party at the end of the day. And this audience is well aware of it. And if you're new to the program, thank you for being here. Go back and check our previous podcasts and read that letter. Because you're going to understand that this is not a two-party system. It's a one-party system. It's all it is. It's a big joke. It's bailout nation. It's a banana republic. And there is no end in sight whatsoever. Our neighbors to the north in Canada, they're in recession for all intents and purposes. Same with our southern friends in Mexico. Now, how the United States is going to avoid it, it's not. We're in it. We're in a recession as well. And we have the largest economy in the world. And we are going south. China is the second largest economy in the world. They are going south. Europe, European Union. Well, you could argue they're the second or third largest economy in the world. They're going down. Okay? So where are you going to go? What are you going to do? That's why you better be diversified. That's why you better be vigilant. Death by a thousand cuts. Just think about all of the examples. Because I'm not an expert on everything. Nobody is. So make it personal to yourself or to your community or to what you are an expert on. And go through and think how just maybe, some of the behaviors are going to change once the economy is quote-unquote opened up again. Think about some of the changes that might occur at the local, state, and federal level by mandate, by law, and how that's going to affect an industry you know well. That's your death by a thousand cuts. The unintended consequences of what will come will be devastating. Even if there wasn't further government interference in our affairs, in the economy, it would still be a death by a thousand cuts. It would just look a little different, that's all. What's the solution? It's not easy, but it's free market capitalism. What they're doing isn't easy now either, but it's going to kick the can further and further down the road, passing the buck on to future generations, younger people who have nothing to do with this. It's immoral, it's unethical, it's un-American. But that's what we will continue to do. So I wanted to make sure I did a podcast this evening just to put this out there because I want this audience to think long and hard about, again, those industries that you're experts on, that you understand, that you know, that are important to you. Because there's also opportunity there to perhaps come up with a better mousetrap, to come up with a better idea to maybe help those industries. Because if you get cut back in the restaurant business and you come to more takeout, all right, you do more of a takeout business, well, then you're not going to need as many washers. You're not going to need as many waitresses and busboys because you don't have as many tables. You don't have as many people coming in. Well, then you're not going to need as many plates and utensils. Well, that's a business right there too, isn't it? And all of your supplies, it goes right down the chain. All the things that you might keep in a restaurant because you have 100 people in there usually, well, now you got 50 people, so you don't need as much stuff. Think about all those suppliers and their suppliers and their suppliers. Death by a thousand cuts. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, stay with the Capital News. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.